Hallelujah. Well, we're still this morning. We're going to be back in our teaching again on a new level of believing. And as I said, I got that. I didn't make that one up. That one came from what Randall Greer, the Lord, spoke to him. That if we would take on a new level of believing, we would move to a new level of receiving. So we've been looking at things of scriptures, and in it, I began to teach on that. And then the Lord had me go over, spoke to me about going to Kenneth Hagin's book where it's you can write your ticket with God. And we began to teach there, and in that book is where that book came to us, how you can write your ticket with God. It was a vision that Kenneth Hagin received in 1953 in December in Phoenix, Arizona. And Jesus gave him four things to do. He said that you could receive from him. It said, and the four things were say it, do it, receive it, and tell it. And we opened up teaching on it with the woman with the issue of blood. That was the initial one that Jesus gave to Kenneth Hagin and took him through the teaching itself through that. And we began then, we looked at some others, and we went and looked at David and Goliath. We also talked about the prodigal son. Today I'm going to talk in an area that is really important in this area. Is when you teach in the areas, we're going to talk about faith. It's hard to talk about faith without Abraham. And we're going to look over to Abraham, and I just want to read to you again what Jesus had told Kenneth E. Hagin. He said, if anyone anywhere will take these four steps to these four principles, or these four principles, and put these four principles into operation, he will always receive what he wants from me or God the Father. And he went on later and said to Kenneth Hagin, he concluded, he said, if they don't do it, speaking of we people, we believers, it won't be done. It would be a waste of time for them to pray to me to give them the victory if they have to write their own ticket. And really, that's contrary to a lot of teaching and stuff in the church world over time. You know, it's always been sort of, well, if God wants to, he will. And it's always been sort of thrown over in God. And we're waiting on God to do something about it. And we found out that really the things in dealing with authority in the earth have to do with us. And I always looked, I was glad that Jesus used the woman with the issue of blood, because here we have this woman out here as number one is dealing from a cultural standpoint of the day. He used the illustration of this woman. She carried out and did this. She wasn't a theologian. She wasn't anybody special, but she operated in these principles, and she received from God when others all around didn't get a thing. And I always liked that. If the underdog can make it, I can make it. And if the underdog can make it, I don't have an excuse. If you give yourself an excuse, you'll use it, I'll guarantee you. I know. I've gave myself excuses already, and I used them. but if you do, and I just look at, I always like to look at people who were not the normal one to make it, and them become my example. Today, most of the world, and even the church world, uses the failure as the guy will see this guy didn't make it. Look at him. And he didn't make it. You know, they don't take the person who made it and say, yeah, if he made it, I can make it. And praise God. So we have these as an illustration. We're going to go today as talking about Abraham and using him as an example in this area, because we want to find out that Abraham said it and he did it. He received it. And it, we know it surely got told. We got it in the Bible. We have it here. It was told. But we want to look at this Abraham. I was studying Abraham this week. I knew I was going to eventually go over to Abraham with this and talk about Abraham. But this week when I was going over these things, the Lord began to remind me, and I talked to Mike about it yesterday, because it had to do with Mike, and it had to do with Mike's teaching on patience. And when I began to look at Abraham and look at the patience of Abraham and the time period that he stood in and what we're going to talk about today, what he did was a phenomenal thing. But there was one thing that God had developed him in, and you need to understand and develop yourself in this area too, and allow God to work at you in this area, is dealing with the area of patience. If you will not let God work with you in this area, you're always going to be very limited in your faith and how far you can go and how far God can really go with you, how far God can take you. And really, it comes down to the place that Abraham by following God and over time, allowing God to build in him patience, his willingness to let God work in him, that, you know, he didn't have to have everything done right the minute it happened or even years. We're going to find out he stood for 25 years just to get a son. 25 years, but he followed God. But we need to understand God did things for him in between there. But he stayed faithful and he continued. And we need to understand, you know, we talk about what God does in the earth, but you need to understand this. We're in the position that we are today, that you and I know Jesus Christ because of men. Men and women over the years obeyed God, and we have the gospel today because of it. You need to understand, you know, people say, well, it's all God. Well, it's not all God. Had not men been faithful in the earth, had not men obeyed God, where would you be? Had not someone walked with God? I know that human obedience has a lot to do with how far we'll go, because just from the standpoint of the studies that they've done in Christianity on salvation alone, that the majority of the people get saved is because somebody's saved in their family. Somebody got saved in their family. The majority of people, they said the majority of people come to Christ, it's been because of somebody in their family was saved. Somebody who knew God could pray on behalf for them. Somebody who knew. And if that's true, then we know this, that somebody who walks with God has a great influence on others. So people say, well, it's all God. It's not all God. If it was all God, it wouldn't matter what you did. Wouldn't have a clue. You go live in all way you want and do whatever you want. But and we need to understand it. And this is one thing, is allowing God to work in us. It's one of the things that, you know, the Lord reminded me of it from Mike's standpoint. You know, remember when Mike was going to get this, I forget what it's called, I don't remember anymore, these credentials to, you know, it's really an elite group of concerning where, you know, his job or what Mike does. And that the people that hold these certain credentials. And Mike, you know, I mean, it's not something easy to do. It's you know, it requires a lot of you. And I remember Mike going through that and going through that pressure. And I remember talking to Mike. The Lord said to me that Mike needs, you know, that God's behind this. Because, you know, you get over there under the pressure, and after a while you're wondering, man, do I really have to do this? Is this God really pushing me to do this? And why do I need this? Hey, I'm already in good shape. I mean, I got a good job. I'm already, you know, we're at this point. But God was pushing in him and doing something. And then God come along and had him teach on patience. But you know, we all needed it. You know, because I really believe that a lot of people with their problem in their faith areas, they never develop in patience. They know what the Word says. They believe what the Word says, but they haven't developed over the pressure. When pressure comes, they quit. When pressure gets tough, people back off. And it's learning to stand. And allowing God to build you. God can't build you to go through pressure if you won't go through pressure. He can't do that. God can never build you to go through pressure. I remember Kenneth Hagin said this, and it wasn't one of those really cheer, you want to jump over, you know, a pew or anything. He said one time, he said, great faith comes through great trials. He said, if you don't have any great trials, or you don't ever go through great trials, you know, a faith trial, stand through faith, he said, you'll never have great faith. You're going to have to willingly go through pressure. Well, we listened to stories of people this week that went through pressures. And when you sit and listen to him, you say, my God, I'm a slacker. No one is it. But it's good to hear. It's people under pressure. And people that didn't come out bitter, evil, you know, mad about everybody else. You know, most people get mad about things. They've never been under pressure in their life. They're quitters. And they become bitter because they're quitters. They want everything to be real easy in life and nice. The Bible says this, if you're going to live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer persecution. Kenneth Hagin told us that one too. He said, if you're not being persecuted, it's because you're not living godly. Well, that was great to hear. You know, we were, whoa, yeah, that was nice. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you what, if you follow the Word of God today, you'll get persecuted. I'll guarantee you, you'll get persecuted. Oh, hallelujah. Well, that's good news, isn't it? Praise God. Well, we're going to go over here and look at Abraham. It's talking about him as this man, this example. I want you to go to Genesis, the 22nd chapter. And we want to read about Abraham, an incident here with Abraham and Abraham's We're going to begin to look at this example. And in the 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis, we have it verse 1. It says, "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham." Now listen, this is not the devil. This is God tested Abraham. You're going to learn this about, if you're ever going to develop, as long as you're going to develop in faith, and you want to develop in faith, God is going to test you on things. My first test on the areas of healing, I always give you guys the testimony. My first test on the areas of healing, I was asking God, I wanted to learn how to, in the areas of what I was supposed to do and acting on the word. I wanted to learn. I understood faith and the principles of faith. I knew how to believe. I knew how to confess. But I was wondering, what does God want me to do? And he started to show me things. And I asked him about it, and God began to test me in an area. And where it was the fact is I got up one morning and I felt bad. And God didn't make me sick, but God used that thing for a test for me concerning my faith, making me use the principles that I knew. See, it's number one, if you're not going to use the principles that you know, don't bother learning. There's no point to it. Because they only work if you use them. They only work. Now, that sounds pretty simple to you, but I want to tell you what, loads of people are doing it. Loads of people have all the information. They know all about the subject, but they don't do it. They're not doing it. So when I felt bad, I was feeling bad, woke up in the morning, and I was feeling really bad. And, I made a confession of the scripture in 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes, that you're healed. And I made that, and I said, well, praise God, I'm healed. And a thought just went through my mind, well, you just call off work and you just believe God, you're healed. And the Spirit of the Lord inside of me spoke up to me and said, if you call off work, you're going to stay home sick all day. Well, that didn't cheer me up at all. Well, that was a lot of help. And then he asked me the question, do you believe 1 Peter 2:24? Do you believe it? Well, so he tested me on my faith. See, I said I believed that. I said, I remember laying there in bed, and I just remember going over that scripture. And I said, yes, Lord, I believe that's true. Well, he said, then why don't you get out of bed and act like it? It was a test. Was I going to act like it was true, like I was healed, or was I just going to lay there? What was I going to do? See, it would have been nice and comfortable to lay there, See, man, because really, I thought I felt bad till I got up. I got up, I felt a lot worse. It didn't feel any better. I didn't shave looking in the mirror. I'm like this. Shave. I'll never forget that morning. I'd never want to glare at myself in the mirror, and I'd be like, oh, boy, my stomach was just rolling, and it was one of those like pains in my stomach. It was like cramps. I just, felt terrible. And I was going through that. And my mind the whole time was thinking about, oh my God, I got to drive to work like this. your mind's over there, but I kept thinking, 1 Peter 2:24. You see, God was testing me in an area. And when he got done with me on that, it changed my faith. I went to a completely different level of believing after that day. When I knew the subject of healing, like most people didn't know it around me. It was no longer pages of a book and a nice quotes. Man, this thing became real. I knew how this thing worked. I knew how to do it. I knew how to operate in this thing. Was it fun? No. But it worked. It was a lot better than being sick all day. Like I always say, until I got to work, every symptom had left my body. And I thought, man, I got over that one quick. This is good stuff. This is great. Somebody would say, well, you want to go back and do that again? No. No, I don't ask for sickness back so I can go through that stuff. I remember Kenneth Hagin telling the stories of some of the things that he went through in his life, and he went through some really tough stuff. But I remember him saying this. He said, I'm glad that I experienced many of the things that I did, because the Lord told him this. He said, I allowed you to go through some things in your life so you could teach people faith. The Lord told me the same thing. He said, I allowed you. He said, I taught you how faith works, not just from the book. You know how it works. And he said, so you can teach people how it works. I'm just telling you this. There's many ministers, faith ministers out here that don't know a thing of how faith works. They know they can sit and tell you the principles, but they don't work them. They're not working them and living in them. So you can get over and know all the principles. You know, you can go to a college and you can sit and listen to a business professor tell you all about business, and he ain't ever been in a business in his life. He ain't owned one, ever worked one, and he's telling people how to do it. And there's loads of them out there. Believe me, when they come out of college, the businesses have to put up with those students that don't know nothing about business, because the guy who taught them didn't know nothing about business either. All he had was stuff from a page. You know, it can be good stuff from a page, but it isn't until you know how to use it till it becomes real to you. And Kenneth Hagin said, he was glad that he went through things and learned, developed in faith, but he said, I don't want to go through those things again. I don't want to go back through those things. He said, I don't want to do that. Thank God for what we learn in situations and what we learn through things. Abraham is going to be tested. And now we need to understand it. God did not unfairly test him. God had taught him and trained him and done things for this man so he could come to this test to succeed. That's why you should never be afraid of tests. If you're one of those people, I don't like to take tests. Some people don't like to go to school or anything. We have to take tests. I remember, just in teaching in Bible school, I have never taught in a Bible school where students, there always wasn't some student, do we have to take tests? Every time you get students. And I say, why are you here? I say, I just really want to know why you're here. Because you ain't gonna go nowhere. You're going to go out here. You don't want to be tested in what you know. You don't want to find out if you know anything about it. You just want to hear something and go out there. You think this is all easy stuff out there. It ain't easy. When you go out there in ministry, I'm going to tell you, the devil's going to come to your house and visit you. You better know how to use this stuff. If you know how to do it, he wants to shut you up. That's why the devil works on ministers so much. He wants to shut them up. They stand in front of people and preach. He wants them to believe weird doctrines. He wants them. He works on them for that purpose. He don't want them out there telling stuff. He wants to keep their mouth closed. He wants to do things to, you know, cause them problems. But if we don't learn, it's just like with Abraham. Abraham sat down and learned. These people say, I don't want to do that. You know, well then, what are you doing? Why bother? If you're not going to, if you don't want to find out, if you're knowing and learning anything, what's the point of going? I'll tell you what, I'm glad for testing. I would have never developed or ever known nothing had it not been for testing. And God wants to put you in the place of testing. Why? To prove out to you that this stuff is true, that it works. He wants to do that. And he's attempting to do that. And many times people think, well, why am I going through this? Why am I going through that? Well, number one, that just shows you don't understand testing. You don't understand. When the devil comes knocking your door, praise God. It's like, I remember the first time I heard Kenneth Hagin say it, I thought he was crazy. He said, well, thank God I have another opportunity to use my faith. And I thought, I didn't want any other opportunities. But here's one thing about it. If you don't have opportunities in your faith, you'll never develop in faith. If you don't have opportunity, you'll never develop. You know, it's like a farmer. If he had never had an opportunity to plant a crop, he ain't going to know nothing about planting crops, you know. The opportunity to do it, you know. And so God teaches us, instructs us, and God spoke to me concerning Mike about how he was working in Mike to lead Mike to a new level. See, Mike got over where he really had to trust. And he taught him about patience, and you didn't need it, didn't you? You found out that patience stuff was really necessary because you got put in some bad positions in that. You know, if you go back over and listen to what Mike talked about, you know, he's the final test thing and that stuff that he was going through, and all of a sudden his computer, you know, gives up the farm and he loses all his information on all this paper he had just worked on, and he has to get all this stuff done again, and he's in the middle of the testing thing and what he had to go through. Well, you know, if Mike had not been developing, Mike would have said, oh, this is, forget this. I'll just go home. I don't need to put up with this aggravation. But this was the plan of God. You're not under too much stress. You don't use the Bible to handle your stress. There isn't anybody sitting here who's under too much stress. Not one person. If you learn to walk in faith, and go over and listen to Mike's teachings on patience. You'll find out that you're just like me. I always, the first thing, you know, I know with me, when I went on the mission field, I'll never forget the first time I went on a mission field, and I got around people who really had problems, and I thought, Ed, you need to learn to shut your big blab mouth. You ain't got no problems. You know what? Most of you here really don't have much of any problems. You've made them big, You talk them big. You do all kind of things to make problems huge and stress yourself. You know, it's like, my, we're down to listen to these people. These people went for years and years. We listened to the young boy from 10 to 15 years old, what he went through. Ain't none of us have a right to even open our mouth that we have some kind of a problem. I could look at the worst thing that ever happened in my life, and man, it don't even shine on his best day that he had. And you know what? He didn't come out weird or crazy. He didn't come out. He's not holding any hatred against it. He said, don't hold hatred against people, what they do, because he said, only destroy you. I thought, man, I wish to get that there Jewish guy to come and preach to the church. Dear God. But you don't know what somebody did. You don't know what they've been saying to me. I've been abused. They said they didn't like me. I'm abused. I'm going to kill myself. We become so weak, it's because of the weakness in faith. As Ed Dufresne said before he left and went to heaven, he said the Lord told him, in America here, faith's at its weakest level. That's what he told him. And man, he's right. You see what's going on across the land. Faith is at its weakest level. Man, I want to be like Abraham. I look at Abraham and I say, this man, this guy here, he's a champion. But you know what? God made him a champion. He listened to God. He obeyed God. God made him a champion. God, you know, hey, you got the best trainer in the world. You got God. And if you let God train you, hallelujah, praise the Lord, God will do things and work things in you. So Abraham was under, it was in a testing mode. And God spoke to Abraham and he said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. People say they want to hear from God. I don't know. Abraham said, here I am. In other words, Abraham didn't say, oh, no, not him again. What's he going to do this time? He said, now, here comes the good news. Oh, this, I can't wait till God talks to me. I can't wait till I hear from heaven. He said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. Offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you. Man, how would you like to get that news from wanting to hear from God? I'll tell you, convinced this. I've had it happen to me. I've wanted to hear from God on something, and when I heard from God, I thought it was the devil. Oh, yes. I didn't think God wasn't talking that to me. This couldn't have been God. We need to pray longer. I did that just concerning talking to church. The Lord spoke to me about starting a church, and I'll tell you what, I knew that had to be a devil. I didn't want to start an old church. I didn't want to be a pastor. That's the last thing in the world I ever wanted to be. God has never called me to what I'd like to do. Never once. I don't understand these people or all this. Well, God just wants me to use my talents and what they mean, the things they like to do. That's what God's going to use me in. I wish I would have had that sometime. I wouldn't be doing this. But he did. But we did. Abraham, he comes along. And God has spoken to me. And I've drug my feet on. I said, no, this can't be God. We've got to seek longer and seek longer. But I want you to see something about Abraham. Abraham has been built to a point. Now understand, up to this time, Abraham has waited 25 years to get a son. And his son is probably, there's different things they have in ages, but I would probably say that he was probably maybe from 14 to 19 years old within that range. And probably most likely, he was probably at least 16 and could have been as up as high as 19 years old. So look at the years that Abraham has gone by. Walk with God. And God comes along. And so in other words, this isn't a new walk. And understand, we're dealing also with a man who is not born again. He's not born again. This man is following God, and it says, and this is one of the most incredible things. I remember the first time when I really sat down and never read this story, other than hearing it like told as kids and stuff, but really read the story. It said, so Abraham, verse 3, rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him. The first time I saw that, I said, that is phenomenal. God tells him to do this. Abraham, don't go, Sarah, do you think maybe God is... You know, I want to talk to you about this, Sarah. If you give me the okay, you know, he didn't say, hey, he didn't take 10 weeks of fasting and praying. He got up the next morning. He got up the next morning and headed out. We're going to look like why he did that. Why he could do that. Because it's one of the things that you need to understand. If you allow God to develop you in faith, you'll come to the place where you'll get up. When you know it's God, you'll get up the next morning and do it. But you got to let God develop you. This didn't happen, you know, after two years of him hearing from heaven. This man's been walking with God, has obeyed God in numbers of things. And he's heading out there to fulfill the plan of God. Said he went with these two young men and his son Isaac. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and rose and went to the place which God had told him. And it says, and on the third day, now they're out there 3 days. Now he's got 3 days of marching along. And he sees the place now that God has called him to go to do this. He sees the place. 3 days. He got 3 days. And I know it is. I'm sure it was 3 days of the devil talking to him. I am sure in 3 days the devil is telling him all kinds of things. One thing that he did do is a very smart thing. He told no one else. It's bad enough to have the devil talking to you without getting the people around you talking to you. Sometimes you lead in a nerve. Don't tell people what God told you to do. I'll just remember when God told me to go to Bible school. I worked at H.B. Reed's Candy Company. Christians were my biggest problem. Are you sure God told you? You have a good job here and God's using you in a church and you got this and you've been out speaking. Why would he call you to go to Bible school? Why would he do? And Christians, that's Christians. The sinners were going, hey, that's really neat. It's good to you to do it. Not the Christians. Not the Christians. The Christians were, I work with Christians, and not one of them ever said, that was a great idea. All of them. Every one of them backslidden buzzards did everything they could to talk me out of going. Are you sure? I mean, first you tell God to tell you to do it, the first thing they do is, are you sure God... Hallelujah. One of the best things that happened is when I left, I got away from them. So sometimes it's not good. Sometimes it's good not to say something to people. Abraham didn't tell nobody else. He's out to do the will of God. He's out to carry it out. He's headed on his way. Now, I want you to understand this. There's one thing that Abraham has learned, and it's a thing that you have to allow God to develop in you that you learn. And we talked about it before. From Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please God. And why? For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and what? He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Abraham had learned that if you follow God, you get reward. He had learned it time and time and time and time again. If you're not a person after reward, if you're satisfied where you're at and with what you have, your faith is going to stay at that level all the time. It's never going to go above anything you're at. Because reward means to get something better. Reward, getting some kind of reward, getting something better. It's like the Lord told me, he said, never allow the church to pay you enough money to satisfy you. Never allow that. Always want more than what they can give you. Why? What does he want me? He wants me to continue to believe him so my faith will develop so I get reward. One of the greatest problems, and I hear it all the time among ministers, they'll talk about it. They say, you pastors out there, you have a real problem in the areas of your faith because you're satisfied where you're at and the money you earn. You know, you got a big church and you're making a good salary and you don't use your faith at all. There's loads of people and big ministers are like that. They came to a place, learned how to use their faith to get where they're at, and when they got there, they stopped. And today, if you pulled their salary from them, they wouldn't know what to do. And there's some big-name ministers wouldn't know what to do because they haven't used their faith in years to bring money in to themselves. And see, you have to do. You have to maintain your faith and get your faith growing. And this is an important part of what you're doing. Abraham has learned, and Abraham is a man after reward. See, you'll have these people, well, we don't serve God for reward. I do. God's system. That's the only way you're going to grow in faith is for reward. Faith brings reward. You want reward, and God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. God's in the reward business. I learned this about God. If anything He wants to do, what pleases Him more, that He can bless people. He wants to do that. God in this earth, that was His whole intent, sending Jesus to bless people. If He was happy where people are, let them go off to hell. But He didn't. He always wants to reward people. So God is moving that area, and always know that about God. God is not asking you to do a thing. When people say, well, I had to give this up for Jesus, I wish they'd knock that off. Yeah, I had to give up $10 to get $1,000. Wasn't that awful? That was the most terrible thing that ever happened to me. You know, God had me, and I had to give up my old car to get a new one. I'll tell you, this is what the people that talk that way are the people who hate change. They want to keep the old car and gripe. Wish I had the money for a new car. But you know how things are. And so, but Abraham is a man who's seeking reward, and we know that. To start off, Abraham, if we went back to, you don't have to turn there, if you want to, you can. In Genesis, the 12th chapter, we have what God started Abraham off on reward. It's the way He started him. He started him on reward. It says, now the Lord said to Abraham in verse 1 of chapter 12, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. Boy, I'll tell you, there's a lot of people ought to do that. He said, I will make you a great nation. See, God didn't say, you just go over there and just obey and just get there. No, God told him right away. He said, this is what happens when you go, when you obey me. This is what happens. I'm going to make you a great nation. I'll bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I'll curse those who curse you. And in all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And you, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. So what did Abraham do? I got to pray about this one. I don't know if I really want to do this well. So Abraham went back and found a preacher and said, God don't want you to have anything. No. No, that was the devil talking for sure. Trying to get you over into lust, the money. Who are you? Make your name great. Who are you? All the nations are going to be blessed because of you. No, it says Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him. And also it goes on, the Lot went in, but Abraham... So Abraham picked up and left. Now, Abraham was not a poor man, was that? He had servants. We know that. They have, from a historical standpoint, they know, you know, the city he was from and that stuff. And from Abraham, from the history of back into there, Abraham probably lived very well. Probably lived very well. But God wanted to do something greater through him. God had something greater than he had. See, this is one of the things that many people think wrong about in the areas. They think, well, if I can just attain to this place, it would really just be nice and good. You don't ever think like that in Christianity. See, Abraham had a good life. But God didn't want him to just have a good life. He wanted to bless others too. God had a plan to bless other people. See, most people, like one guy, I know, he said here not long ago, he said, well, I just want to have enough money just to, you know, take care of me and go no good. This is a Christian, calls him spirit-filled faith guy, and he just wants to have enough. He don't want to have a lot of money. He don't want to have a lot of things, just enough to keep me happy. Well, see, God can't bless the nations through him. See, if you're that narrow and you just see where you're at, it's that, no, God wants to bless the nations through you. He ain't changed with Abraham. He ain't changed, ever changed. Well, I'll tell you, I'm sure God hasn't been able to bless the nations. He has blessed nations through me, through giving and stuff, and I've gone and taught and things, but I'm sure he would like to do more through me than what he's doing. I'm sure he does. And see, we need to get this out of our idea. Abraham wasn't a called preacher. This is a guy that God wants to develop in faith. This is what he was, a man developing faith. God is showing him reward. Hebrews 11 and verse 8 said this, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. He didn't know, but why was he going? To receive an inheritance. I'm going out there to get something. There's something out there for me. I want to tell you this morning, there's something out there for you. There's something out there, and I want to tell you with, there's more out there than you know about. And if you're only going to go after what you know about, you're never going to live by faith. We walk as far as God tells us, but there was something greater beyond. There was something. You know, it's just like a man or woman goes out here and starts a business. They don't start out with their business with a vision of where they're at 10 years down the road. They don't see that. You know, they might sit down and write out a vision. But you know, there's a lot you don't see till you walk out so far and you do certain things. And all of a sudden, hey, we can do this now, and now I can do this over here. But you don't see it till you go there. You don't know it till you go there. And if you don't go there, you'd never know it. You wouldn't know that. You end up going there. So, and it's the thing. In life, it's like that with the walk of faith. There's things that I never perceived that even understand or comprehend today that I sit down, look, seems so natural to me. But when I started off, I didn't even know the stuff was even there. Much less to see it, to comprehend it. But when you walk out so far, all of a sudden, you know, it's like going out here. You walk down the road far enough, all of a sudden you start seeing things you couldn't see where you were standing. And you start walking out there, and people need to do that, is to develop in your faith. You don't need to have the binoculars out to see what's all down the road, and if I see all down there, then I'll go there. All's Abraham said there was reward, and I like Abraham. God said there's a reward to go do this, and he said, we ain't left yet. All I can figure is Abraham must have been a pretty good businessman. When he saw an opportunity, he took it. He must have been pretty smart. Because God talked to him and go out there and said, I'm going to reward you. Well, back over in Genesis 22 again, we find out that Abraham does begin to speak some things. Now, we know that concerning Abraham and believing, but here he begins to speak some things, and we find out what he begins to say in Genesis 22 and verse 5 says, and Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. Now remember, God's told him, you go offer your son. Abraham has every intent to do that. He has every intent to put his son on an altar, to cut his throat, and burn him. He has every intent to do it. In fact, we find out God has to stop him. God stops him. He has every intent. But he said this, we're coming back. We're coming back. Me and the boy are coming back. And it's important what he said here. It says, so Abraham, he took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it on Isaac, his son, and he took fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. And you could teach the likenesses. You know, he put the wood on. In other words, the burden was put on the son. Is a picture of Jesus. This is the picture of what it is really. He said, but Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." He said, "Here am I, my son." Then he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide Himself the lamb for a burnt offering." Says so the two of them went on. I like the fact that God will provide. God will provide it. God's going to do this. He didn't say, I'm going to do this. He said, God's going to take care of it. There were these things God's going to take care of. But I want you to see something. God told Abraham to go to this place called Moriah. And we need to understand what that was, because where Moriah is. We'll talk about that because of the place he sends him to in this mountain. But one of the things that we need to understand about Abraham, why was Abraham able to do this? Why could he? Now listen, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now I've heard many times a preacher say, oh, you know, you just, well, how could you do this? How could you do that? Number one, he heard from God. You can't have faith for what God hasn't spoken to you or hasn't revealed to you. You can't have faith to do it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That word there is the word rhema. It's something spoken, not something read. It's something spoken. God spoke to him to do this. He heard from God. Faith comes by hearing. If you could just get faith just by reading, then God sort of messed up, because the Bible tells us clearer when faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. He's hearing the word, and it said, that's why God sent preachers. That's why he sent people to say words. That's the purpose of it. Because there's power in saying words. There is not necessarily any power in reading words. Words of the Bible read and not said amount to nothing. You can believe them and believe it's true. But if they're not spoken, there's no power to them. The power is in the saying. Hallelujah. It's great power. It doesn't affect just the sayer, it affects the hearer. So you want to see people's lives changed? You got to learn to talk and say the right things. You learn to speak what the Word of God says and instead of trying to hide it from you. You want them to change. I'm just going to pray for them. That ain't going to work. You can pray for people, but if they don't ever hear anything said, they don't hear stuff said, they'll never change. People don't get saved. It says they get saved by preaching. That's what the Bible says. We think, oh, we've just prayed for them and they'll get saved. That's why I always pray for a sinner. Somebody comes across their path and preaches the gospel to them, preaches to them. If nobody's going to say anything to them, they're going to hell. Revivals are not started by prayer. Revivals are started by preaching. Revivals are preached. They're not prayed. We have a lot of misconceptions today about things. You can pray all you want, but if you don't get preachers, if you don't get people called by God, anointed to go out there and start saying the stuff, all that prayer stuff just goes, it means nothing. It means nothing. And that's why you will change, people's lives are changed by what's said. Here we have Abraham speaking words. He's saying words. His son wants only, God's going to provide. He's speaking words. Abraham's not talking death. Abraham's talking life. Abraham's not talking death here. Why is he saying these things? And we want to know because of what God spoke to Abraham. In Genesis 21:12, it says, God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad. And this is when he had to throw out the first child that him and his wife made on their own. It says, because of your bondwoman. It says, whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice. It says, for in Isaac your seed shall be called. Your seed's going to be called in Isaac. In Romans, we found out here in Romans, quotes concerning Abraham, Romans 9:7 says, nor are they all children because they are seeds of Abraham. In Isaac your seed shall be called. You need to understand, in Isaac, God told Abraham when he gave him that son, that that son, through that seed of that son, was going to start this whole thing off of the blessing of the nations is coming out of there. Out of there came Jacob, and then the sons of Jacob all came out of there, and that's what it was God said. It's number one, if God is out here and he's going to kill this son, Abraham believes this, and we know it from Hebrews. So we know in Hebrews what Abraham was thinking about in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. This is what Abraham was thinking. Abraham wasn't thinking. God had spoken to Abraham and told him that in Isaac is where his seed's coming from. This is where this one's the one that's going to make this thing work. This one. Well, if God's going to take him, he's going to have to do something about it because God can't offer him another son in his place because that will make God a liar. God's not a liar. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 17 says, but by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Concluding. Now, Abraham concluded something. When you know what the promise of God is, you ought to come to some conclusions. Abraham concluded, if this boy is the seed, well, then he came to a conclusion when God told him to offer him, because God's going to have to do something to fulfill that. See, I've heard people never come, they'll make a quote of scripture, say, yeah, by his stripes I'm healed. But I just don't know. Could you tell me? I just don't understand what they have never come to a conclusion yet. Is that true or not? You've never come to the conclusion that that's real. You're still running around asking people about it. You need to come to a conclusion. Abraham came to a conclusion. He believed without a shadow of a doubt in Isaac, his seed is called, because he turns around and this is what it says, his conclusion, that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figure sense. In other words, by faith. In the end, he believed that if I offer this son, God's going to have to raise this boy up. If I give this boy and put him on the altar and I burn him up, God's going to have to raise that boy. He can't offer me another kid. Why? Because God's a liar. If he would have offered his son and God wouldn't have raised him up, Abraham would have been more righteous than God. He was more, because he kept his word and God didn't. Most people think they're more righteous than God. They're questioning whether God will keep his word. They question whether God will do it. No, Abraham came to a conclusion. I've walked with God all these years. He don't go back on his word. It's like Mike was saying, sorry, God always does. God will always do what he says. He always does. There's no way getting around it. God always does what he says. He came to that conclusion. If you walk by faith, you're going to find out God always does what he says. And you'll never believe those people say, yeah, I know God believed that, but it didn't work. And I always just smile and say, I know the God didn't believe it, and I know you don't know nothing about it either. So between the two of you, are going nowhere. God never goes back on his word. Abraham concluded that God wasn't a liar. God was going to have to raise this son from the dead if he did it. That's why Abraham went out there. He totally believed that. He totally believed that. You see, that's hard to do. No, I'm going to tell you what. There's things that I thought were hard to do when I started off, and today I can walk in, ain't hard at all to do. Once you understand in faith how it works, ain't hard to do at all. It's hard to do when you don't know how to do it. And that's why these people say, well, you know, Abraham did that, and that was, well, that was a pretty miraculous thing. And, you know, God would never expect anything like that out of us. Are you sure? I'm convinced because of the preaching we've had over the years is why God never takes people to any places for some really big things. He hasn't been able to take the church to places because the church has a limit set on where God can take you. We have to watch what we listen to. We talk about a God that's miraculous. Yes, he is if you respond to him in faith. And so Abraham has responded in faith. Abraham heads out to do it. Total confidence the fact that God will just have to raise him from the dead. That's why Abraham didn't get nervous. See, Abraham didn't come to that conclusion that day. Because see, some people, well, you know, they think down the road, well, what happens if something comes along and my son dies? No. Abraham's like, uh-uh, that can't be, because out of his boy comes the seed of all this that God said was going to take place. That has to take place. This boy can't die till it all takes place. This stuff can't go wrong. See, getting over and believing the word. See, people get over and pray and nervous about all kinds of things. They pray and, you know, God's called my kid to do something and God said this, but I'm out here praying like he's going to go to hell and I'm acting like he's going to go to hell and I'm keeping the thing going. They're not in faith. They're not in faith. You got to get in faith. It's just like the Lord told me, you know, back in 1983, that he was going to bring all my brothers and sisters in him. When my sister in her 80s, they said, she's going to die. When we knew she wasn't saved, going to hell. And they said to me, well, she's going to die. She dies, she'll go to hell. I said, she can't go to hell. I said, the Lord told me that he would bring all my brothers and sisters in. If he don't do it, I'll never serve him another day. He's a liar. I came to that conclusion many years ago that he's a liar, that all my brothers and sisters wouldn't come in. He's a liar because he told me that. And you know what? She got saved before she went off. Why? Because God can't lie. You come to the conclusion. He tells you something, you got to come to the conclusion. If it's real, then start living like it's so. Quit acting like it's not so. Quit praying to God like it ain't so. Hallelujah. Say, did you pray about your sister? Not one lick. God never told. He said he was going to bring her in. He never said I had to pray to get him to bring her in. Did you pray? Yeah, I got over an unbelief and acted like it wasn't going to happen. No, I said, I didn't pray a lick. I said, Lord, you're going to do exactly what you said. You're going to bring her in. And got a Korean lady. Talk to a Korean lady to go talk to her. And got her born again. She wouldn't listen to any Americans, I guess. She'd never listen to anybody. But the Korean lady she listened to. Hallelujah. Well, whatever it took. But see, God made that work and I didn't have to pray to make that work. I didn't have to seek God to try to get that to happen. God had already spoken on the subject. Did Abraham fast and pray a lick over this thing or do it? No. Abraham came to that conclusion years ago about this God, kid Isaac, who he is and what he's going to do. And Isaac's going to fulfill what God said he would. And Abraham's acting like it's so. Hallelujah. And we need to come to that place where we act like it's so. Abraham act out. We only look at it because then we find that Abraham did it in Genesis 22. We'll quick read here. It says, and Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. It says, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son. Now Abraham did this and he carried this thing out. Abraham went to this place, Moriah, and understand this place that Abraham went to, and he went up there. That's the place in Scripture that Solomon, David bought the threshing floor there, and he bought that threshing floor. That's where it was on Mount Moriah, is where the temple was built in Jerusalem. And what we do is we see here, really, in Abraham's operation, and what is going on here is exactly this. God had to find a man in the earth. Look, authority in the earth is man. God is not the authority in the earth unless man allows him to be an authority in the earth. Abraham just allowed God. Abraham's willingness to give his son, God said, I'll do mine. He had to find a man who was willing. We wonder why some things don't take place. You know, when the Lord spoke to me about my whole family coming in, he told me why he was doing that for me. He said, because you've done what I've told you to do and you've obeyed me, I'm going to bring your whole family in. I'm going to tell you, I've learned this over the years. You don't obey God, God won't talk to you about things like that. When you listen to what he says, you open the door to different things to happen, a blessing to come into the earth, not just to you, to other people. Abraham opened the door through his offering of Isaac. It really wasn't as much for Abraham. It wasn't for Abraham. It was for descendants down the road. You want to bless people down the road, get obeying. God told me how to bless my family by me obeying them and not trying to figure out how to bless my family. Praying night and day, trying to how you can bless your family. God will make you a blessing if you'll obey what he says to do. You got to follow it. Now, I'm sure that, folks, that's the way it works. Abraham's following this thing and doing it. So he knew that God wouldn't withhold him. Look what James says, and we need to know that your actions, it isn't enough to believe God. It's not enough to say. James went and said this about Abraham in James, the second chapter. Starting in verse 20, he says, but do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scriptures were fulfilled, which said Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. And you see that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Believing ain't enough. It is in the doing. Abraham was in the doing. Abraham was doing it. We could go on with the story of Abraham. We know he received it. God told him then. The Lord spoke to Abraham and told him through the angel, you know, that there was a ram over in the thickets, and he offered that in its place. But how did God know that Abraham truly believed him? How did he know? Just because he said it? He said, no, I know you fear me. I know you fear me. Why? Because you'd offer your son like I asked you to. I know you fear me. He didn't say, I know you fear me because you got faith. Having faith is no proof at all that you fear God. Has no proof at all. See, this is one of the things that Randall Greer's message is about, because today they've removed works out of faith completely. There is no such thing as faith without actions. There is no such thing as faith without works. If I believe something, I need to do it. I need to carry it out. It is not enough to sit around and say, well, that's not, all I have to do is believe. That's all I got to do is believe. That's what people are being taught today. All you got to do is believe. That's why Christians out here don't do a thing. That's why they live nasty lives and they don't follow their Father God. They've been taught that all you just believe, you don't have to have any actions to it. You just go out here and just believe and it's going to work. No, it ain't. You know, God said he'd bless the labor of your hand. He didn't say he'd bless your faith just because you talked. You might have to do something. And you will. You're going to have to do something. It's not enough to sit around and say we believe things. We've got to act like it's true. And if anything that God taught me about faith was that. And I learned over the fact that the greatest failings that we have in Christianity, and one thing God had to deal with me on, and I was glad that he did. He kept dealing with me in the areas of actions. And I went to him about it. I said, what is it? What do I have to do? I got to learn how I'm supposed to act these things out. Because everybody's sitting around and talking, but it ain't nothing happening. People are talking and praying. I was around Christian people. They're talking and praying about healing, but people ain't getting healed. They're doing all this. There's no actions. You know, we were up here when Dwayne Norman was here. And one night he prayed for the sick, and he had them all lined up here. Almost every one of them, the things that he had to try to keep working on was get him to do something. You know, they just want hands laid on him, and I just get better. No, you got to do something. You know, get saying the right thing. Well, I just, you know, and to them it's just, well, I'm just still feeling bad, and I'm just feeling bad, you know. But they don't want to do it. And he's trying to coach them through to get them to start saying the right things, start acting the right things, trying to get them to move around or something. Because, you know, if I move over here, it pains me. Well, I believe I'm healed, but if I move, it pains me. Well, you ain't getting nothing. And see, people need to understand this. Actions. You guys have heard me talk a lot about it. If I have somebody lay hands on me, I come down saying something. And when I go back, I'm saying something and acting something, man. I'm not going back to act like nothing happened. Hands get laid on me. The power of God's going in me. And a healing and a cure. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And that's what's going to happen. And I'm going to walk off acting like something happened. Say, well, I didn't feel nothing. I don't give a rip if I feel anything. I'm going to act like I got something. That's just what you do. Hallelujah. Do you know, a man would never be able to go into business if he never did anything unless all the money came first. You know what? And really, they live by faith. They go out here and start doing the work acting like they're going to get paid. You know, you go to work for somebody, I go to work all week. What do? You just believe at the end of the week they're going to give you money. I don't know what it is when people get to be Christians and talk about faith. They turn off, if there's a switch that turns your brain off, and you just become a total idiot walking around here. All I do is just believe, he'll take care of all of it. Yep, that's the way it works. When nothing in life works like that. Nothing in life works that way. And God's sure better than the employer. Now, I've had numbers of faithful employers, and they always paid. Well, God will pay too. You think God's better than, you know, Hershey Chocolate Company? Or do you think God's better than the place that you work for? Is God better? Or we have to decide. You know, we have more faith in them. We'll go do something with God. Boy, you got to see the pay up front. I don't do it until I see something. But I'm a person of faith. Man, if I have a feeling, that feeling does come first. That feeling's on the top of the list. I got to feel it. And it's usually a bad feeling. and that's where people walk. And we need to get over it. If Abraham walked, Abraham fulfilled the plan of God. And the whole thing is, all the nations of the earth were blessed by what this man did. Is he over there in a special place where we can't go? Folks, he ain't in the place where the church can't go. We're the church of Jesus Christ. Thank God for Abraham's faith. But the church should never. Abraham is called the father of our faith. And I'm going to tell you what, every father wants their offspring to go further than they do. And Abraham's offspring, we're the offspring of the faith of Abraham. Hallelujah. And we need to go further. Don't minimize. Don't look at the scriptures and see what people did by faith and say, well, you know, and listen to those preachers and say, well, now God would never ask us to do. Well, you know, what they do is they want to minimize. This was the biggie. We're going to take something less. I'm sorry. God can use any one of us here to bless the nations if you will allow him to. He can bless the nations through you. You got to get into your thinking. God can do things for you. Now, we don't need to have to offer a son again to get Jesus to offer his son. But we'll obey God. God in the church wants to go exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or think. In 1950, the Spirit of Jesus Christ appeared to Kenneth Hagin and told him that we're living in the era of the miraculous. And the church has minimized faith. They keep trying to put a lid on how far we can go and what happens and what goes. It's just about, you know, accumulating just money or accumulating this or that. I'm going to tell you, our actions, I believe if the church walks right and does right, I believe we believers can see multitudes of people come to Christ because we choose to walk right. I'm going to tell you, as long as most of the Church of America lives like hell, they ain't going to see people coming to Christ. They're not going to see it. It's just like my family. God told me, when he showed me about my own personal family, he went and told me, if you'll do what I tell you to do, I'll take care of your family. That's what he told me about my personal life. You do what I tell you. See, we got to get over this action stuff, doing what's right. It's not enough to talk about it. You do what's right. Walk and do what's right, he said, because you did what's right. You walk right. I'm going to bring all your brothers and sisters in. That's what he said. I have no fear about my brothers and sisters. People say, well, the time's getting short, and your family, you want to get all your family in. Time can't get short enough for Ed's family not to come in. It will never happen. God never gave me those promises when Ed was a preacher. Those promises were made to me the first year. The promises concerned my family was 1983, and that Friday was July. It was 2.5 years after I was saved. I wasn't no preacher. In fact, I got the anointing to teach that year. And he told me that in June and July, the anointing came on me to teach. But he told me, concerning my family, he told me that within probably about 3 months that I was born again. I have never worried about whether my family's going to end up in heaven. Man, they're going to get all Ed got to do is obey. I obeyed. God made a promise. I obeyed. I made a promise. He gonna back off on his promise. Did he back off of his promise because David messed up? He promised David before he got into that there adultery situation. He promised concerning his seed. Did he change the promise because he sinned? No. Why? God promised. God promised. And I can stand there on the promise. Hey, you said you'd do that. Why? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Most people are trying to please Him by just works. Well, I got to believe that once you get the promise, you stand on it. You don't even move off of it. You don't even think about moving off. You got to come to a conclusion. You need to know this. If you keep leaving the foundation of the promise, you know this. You never came to a conclusion yet. You need to come to a conclusion that the Word's true. And you stand where it's at and say, here it is. And say, you know what? I ain't going to pray. God, I've told the Lord this about certain things. He spoke to me about it. I said, if you want me to pray about it, you tell me. But other than that, I ain't even bother with it. I won't even say anything about it. He promised. The only thing that I'll say, if I have something to say, I'm going to say to Him and say, you're going to take care of that. You said so. I've always told Him, Lord, if I've missed it or done something, you show me, I'll get back on track again. But you're going to have to fix that thing. I'm willing to, if I miss it, I'm willing to change. I'm willing to get back in track. But He still has to hold that promise. He's going to have to do it. I don't listen to none of these preachers talk about, well, you messed up and now God ain't going to do it. Well, I'm sorry. That ain't the way it works in promises. You made a promise to do something, you better do it. So I see these people make promises and then something else comes up and they go do something else. Well, I told them I'd do that, but now they did this. No, you made a promise you're going to do something, you get doing it no matter what they did. Your word better get good or you're going to think God's the same way, and after a while you're going to be coming to the preacher and asking, well, I don't know, understand why this don't work. It's because believing's wrong. God is a fulfiller of promise. I mean, didn't David's ancestors try to mess everything up and all the stuff the other kings had followed him? My God! They tried everything to put it down the toilet and the Messiah came anyhow. Hallelujah, because God made a promise. God made a promise. And there's promises concerning this end times going on. And I wish the preachers would read the book and quit preaching half the stuff they are. They sit down and look at the book. Hallelujah. There's promises made and God will fulfill them. He's going to fulfill them. Hallelujah. I don't care what these people say about it. God will fulfill His word if we come to a conclusion. Hallelujah. I want to be like Abraham. I want to come to the conclusion that God is faithful. Hallelujah. We're singing His wonderful songs this morning about how good He is. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, never forget what God has spoken to you. Never forget things that He has shown you or told you that He would do. Those promises. The Lord spoke to me many years ago when I was just a young Christian about some things and I had left it slip. Because I thought over time, number one, I felt that, I could have sure done better about some things, and you get over in your own natural mind about it, and after a while you think, well, God probably ain't going to do that. He'd probably find somebody better to use on some things. And He told me about in the last days what He was going to use me for. And it did seem a little wild and far out there. When you first hear it as a young Christian, you really think it's neat. And as you mature a little bit, you think, man, couldn't God pick somebody? Couldn't God have chosen somebody? Why me? And I got off of it, and that's when one day we were, I was at Bible school, and we were at prayer school, and we were praying, just minding our own business. In fact, we were praying for the Soviet Union. That time was before the walls come down. And Rhema, every day they prayed for, I think it was 5 years, every day they prayed in Bible school for the Soviet bloc countries. And they prayed every day because the Lord told Brother Hagin to pray for them. He didn't quit. For 5 years they prayed. It didn't seem like nothing was even happening or going on. And all of a sudden, one day, the walls come down, and people say, wow, how did that happen? How did that take? Because somebody was patient for 5 years, heard from heaven, and knew how to just keep doing it. And we'd go in every day and pray. I'll never forget there praying. And we had an evangelist standing up front. This evangelist was up there leading the things with prayer. And we were praying, and all of a sudden, he stopped prayer, and he said, you know, there's somebody out there, God spoke to you and told you something that you're going to do down the road and that stuff, and you've just let it go, and you've forgotten all about it. And I, at that time, I'd forgotten all about it. It wasn't even in my memory what God said. And I could take you into the auditorium that we were in out there. I could take you over to where the seats were, where I was standing. And I was thinking this the whole time. I wonder who that is. And when he said that, all of a sudden, this is what the really sweet Spirit of God said to me as a dove flew in. He said, you're disobedient. I told you something and you let it slip. And as soon as he said that, I knew exactly what it was. I knew exactly what it was. And I just hit the dirt. I just went, oh, Lord, forgive me. You spoke that to me and you told it and I let that thing. He said, don't you ever forget that. Now, he wasn't saying it to be mean. Why? Because it has to do with the blessing of people. God didn't call you to sit on a pew and just learn about faith and sit around and get nice and fat and happy, you know, just in your faith stuff. That's not what he called you for. God can change nations through you. God can do all kinds of things through you. And you need, it's like the Lord said, it was the blessing of people. See, you walk a bit, it's the blessing of, he wants to fulfill, he wants that fulfilled. See, we have this idea, well, somebody else can do it. From his standpoint, I don't think anybody else is going to fulfill what he told me to do because he ain't acting like it is. Because I'm going to tell you, nobody, you know, I remember Ken Copeland talking about it years ago. He sort of complained to the Lord about, Lord, why do you have me doing this, doing that, all these different things? And he said, because I've called people out there to do these things. And he said, they're out there driving trucks. They're out there doing this. They're doing that. The carpenters are doing all these different things. I called them to this, but they're out there doing all that stuff. They're not doing this. Well, now I'll tell you this. God may be able to use Copeland in some of that, but he can't do all of that of what he wanted them to do. He can only do some of it. He can't replace their call. God just gets some of it done through him because he has his own call that he's called to do. So what happens? He's over here doing other people's work, a little bit of it, you know, but he can't do all their work and all their part because people are sitting around not paying attention to it. You know? I'm a nice Christian. I'm doing good. I'm happy at what I'm at. I'll tell you what, I ain't happy unless I'm in the will of God. That makes me happy. That's where I want to be, in the will of God. Why? Because it's going to bless my family. It's going to bless other people's families. It's going to change the world. If your faith can only fix your problems, it's a pretty lousy faith. Faith is designed from the beginning to change the world. Our faith can change the world. I never realized till just some years ago that really God was working me as a young Christian. What I was doing in obeying God was setting a destiny to bring change to the world. And I looked at it back then as like, oh, you know, who's me? I'm not really called. I'm not, you know, I don't have this great, I don't have this big TV show. And I don't, you know, you look at things, you don't have this thing. But my faith can change the world. Your faith can change the world. God can find somebody that would believe him, what he said. Somebody that will say what he said. Somebody will act like it's true. Can change the world. Hallelujah. When they talk about us being world changers, we're all called to it. What if everybody just starts to believe in an area? Just like at Rhema. They all sit down and believe. They believed. Brother Hagin believed that they prayed for those Soviet bodies. It was going to open the doors. There was going to be a revival. I know one minister personally. He has over 200 and some churches in Russia. He's a pastor. Pastors a church here. He goes over to Russia every now and then. I said he's founded over 200 churches or under a thing, and he did going. He went over there and did that. God put it in his heart to do that. He went over there. I mean, all because they got praying down there. They got praying and praying. They just obeyed God. They didn't go out and try to find all these other churches to get praying and do what they were doing. They were just obeying God and what they're doing. You don't need somebody to join your prayer meeting. If God told you to pray about a certain thing, you pray about it. You don't need to try to get other people in it unless God tells you to. But other than God will draw people in if he wants them. But there, they just this was them to do it. We would just go every day. We knew when we were going in to pray, we knew what we were going to pray for. We knew what we were going into. And you know why I prayed? God had never spoken to Ed Gibson, but I had enough sense to know that Brother Hagin heard from heaven. He's not a liar. And there's one thing as I knew, he was concerned about the people in those countries. And it was on his heart. And we would just go there every day and pray. Hallelujah. And glory to God. Just because one man did it, we went down there. I didn't need to hear a voice from heaven, but I had a part in that. Using my faith. Because I get her, God taught, God wouldn't have us praying for nothing on that thing. And so we'd just pray and pray for those nations over there. They would turn around and put a map up thing, and they'd have those nations. They put maps in the auditorium, and that stuff had lit up spots where all different rhema people were on there, where people were preaching. And we would just pray. And we'd stand there and pray toward those maps and just use them as a focus point. This is what we're praying today. These nations in the block, this is where we're praying. We're going after this. That was what he was doing. He wasn't going around trying to get other people to do it. That was our job. We did our job, and you know what? I bet you there was other places praying for other areas of the world that God had them. They were praying, doing their part, changing the world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. You can believe God. You can. Hallelujah. The Word of God's coming to you, and you can believe the Word of God. Every one of us here, the Lord has spoken to us about certain things. You may have let them slip. Sometimes, just like I did, I let it slip to where I didn't even remember it. I'm serious. It wasn't even on my mind. I couldn't have recalled it. Hallelujah. But, there's a Holy Ghost recall that is greater. And you know, today I can remember those words, and I can remember exactly. I was in the bedroom on the second floor in the front of the house, 321 Canal Street, when the Lord spoke those words to me. I know exactly where I was staying. I was standing near a window when the Lord told me and spoke those words to me. And here I had turned around, let him slip, but you get back over it. I'll tell you what, to me it's a memory. I just remember exactly what he said and what he did. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to pray for you today for some recall. If there's any areas of stuff that God has revealed to you. There's one thing, as I learned this from Kenneth E. Hagin, and I'll tell you, it works this way. He used to say about that, God has spoken to you about certain things, and then you get away from them and you don't do them or walk it in the light of that. He said you get to a place sometimes, he said, where you come along and, you're a Christian, but things just ain't quite working like they should be. He said, always go back to the things that the Lord told you about and you didn't do it. And sometimes it isn't for a time. We may do it, but then we may just forget about it, get over into something else. And I found that true. It changed that day when I picked that thing up again. There's something in my spirit changed that day. I wasn't moving to a certain place because of letting that go. And somehow when that thing came back to me and I received it, I said, Lord, I'll always run. I believe it, so you're going to do that. I have no clue how you're going to do it, but you're going to do that. I have no clue, but you're going to carry that out. And we get to some things, and sometimes things don't seem as very significant. But I'll tell you, if God told you, it's a great significant thing. And it may lead to a huge blessing when you do it, an enormous blessing. And I found out this, is these are the things that led to blessings to other people. I watch people do this. There's people I prayed for, and all of a sudden God would tell me to do a certain thing, and the blessing would come through that doing. You can pray and pray night and day, and nothing ever changes. I found obedience is better than sacrifice. Sometimes it's easy to sit down and pray about something rather than do it. You ever been there? I have. But I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray that God would bring back to you your reference. Look on the inside of you. That's where God's at. He's going to reveal into you, inside of you, into your spirit. There's things. And if he's ever showed, maybe you don't. But you know what? I stop and say, is there anything, Lord, that I've gotten off on, that I've left at you? You had me doing. Sometimes we don't do it intentionally. We don't intentionally do that. Don't sit here and try to dig something up if there ain't nothing there. You know, what this is for is just looking on the inside of you. Or maybe there's something God will want to speak to you today specifically and talk to you about specifically today. Wes, we want to be open to things. Why? Because obedience is better than sacrifice. We want to know what he says. We want to believe it's true and then start walking it out in our lives. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, I just want to thank you this morning, Lord God, as we're looking to you, and Father, we surely are. And Father, we could look at many things in the Word, and Lord God, we find different people within the Scriptures that you had them do different things. Sometimes you may have us do exactly the same things that they did. Specifically, we might walk in, may do. But Lord God, there's many things, Lord God, that you could call us to. Father God, we can't specifically look at another person and he said, do this or do that. Surely I'm probably are people who have, but we don't know all the believers in the world. Father God, our desire is if we let anything slip or let anything go by, Lord God, that you've spoken to us about, things that you revealed to us. Lord, we know this. And just let me say while we're prayerfully here, don't get into condemnation where you missed it. And don't sit down and think, I don't know anybody that's walking in 100% of what they know. There's things that we know, but we only know them to a point. We say we know them, but really we can't walk in them. We're not ready to walk in them yet. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the things that you know God's revealed to you. Things you just need to do, and just do them and be blessed. And Father, I thank you right now by the revelation of your Holy Spirit. Lord God, because your Spirit indwells each one here today. And Father, they're your children. And Father, you're not here to condemn them or criticize them of any areas where they missed it. Father, your intent and purpose is to reveal to them, Lord God, because, Lord, you want to bless them just like you did Abraham, but you want to bless them in the same way that you blessed Abraham. Lord God, that the blessing of their life goes out into the world. Hallelujah. Where, Lord God, it isn't just a blessing in their life, it's a blessing to all the world. And, Lord God, it truly is a blessing to the entire world when believers follow you and walk with you. And, Lord God, I pray that, Father God, you reveal to them, and, Lord God, that they know that no matter, Lord God, it's a small thing maybe, but Lord God, that it's not insignificant concerning the blessing. It's not Lord God, reveal to their heart, bear witness with them that Lord God, the great blessing it is, and Lord God, to fulfilling what you tell them to do, Father God, even though it doesn't seem like a great thing or a huge thing. But Lord God, if they would do it and walk in it, hallelujah. Father God, you have not changed what you do with Abraham. You're always the rewarder. Hallelujah. And Father God, you've called them to this. You've called them to reward. You've called them to blessing, Lord God. Father God, Father, I know that there's things that, Father, that you show to us that sometime they're down the road. But Lord God, God, we want you to work in us to prepare us and prepare our faith to when we hit that place. We want to be prepared and ready for that place. That place. Hallelujah. 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 You know, we've heard the sayings, and the Spirit of the Lord is saying this. We've heard the sayings where people talk about, you know, that about small beginnings. You know, it's not insignificant about a small beginning. Small beginnings. And what we look at sometimes is things that seem small or small beginnings, but those small beginnings lead to great things. Those who are faithful in little become rulers of much. That's the way the system operates. Those who have been faithful in little. Don't look at the things that, well, like, who am I or where am I in this place? If you're fulfilling the will of God of what He's telling you to do, that's no difference and significant than what Abraham did. Abraham was just carrying out and walking in what he was called to do. Now he had a little bit more years maybe than some of you have had experience in the walk of faith. God had built him to a place. To walk, God didn't take him to that place where he could offer his son overnight. He brought him to that place. And see, that's why you don't despise small beginnings. You understand that those places, that's going to lead to something bigger. And you have to be able to see that with God. You have to understand that as you're dealing with God. God doesn't ask you to do things or show things to you or reveal like your future to you. So, you know, you need to get over in the areas. God revealed a lot to me about the future when I first started off as a Christian, about the future. I want you to understand this. You need to become more future-minded. Become more future-minded, not present-minded. You know, what's happening in the present ain't going to change unless we can change the future. We can't change the future. You ain't going to change the present. Faith's about talking to the future. Faith's about believing to receive something that ain't happened. It's about out there. And see, you need to see the future. Where's your place in your future? What's God showing you about down the road and what's coming up down the road? See, you can start to speak to those things and you can start to talk to those things. See, I, one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to show you things to come. That ain't for preachers. It ain't for the prophet. It's for all Christians to show you things to come. When I read that as a young Christian, I started talking to God about things to come. God started showing me things to come. Started showing me down the road, things in the future. I'm seeing things taking place now that he spoke in the future. Years ago, some of the things that would be. And I'm seeing them now. I see them a whole lot different now than I did then. At that time, I didn't think things were going to be in America like they are. And I sit here and look. But you need to see down the road, face down the road. Faith gives you the eye to the future. I don't understand people talking about faith and can't see down the road. Faith is always about seeing. It's always about looking out there. It's always about out there. And get yourself over in there. Talk to God about there. You want to know what it is to prepare for what's coming down ahead. Be ready for what's ahead. You know, once the thing's on top of you, you can't prepare for it. Then it's just trying to manage. I've been there, managing things. But if you know down the road, down ahead, and the Holy Ghost is in you for that purpose. He's to show you the future. You're not supposed to be blind to it. That's why you want to walk by faith. People who don't understand the subject of faith and how it works are going to have a hard time seeing down the road. Faith is always looking down the road. Hallelujah. I can't change today, but I can change tomorrow. I can change something from an hour from now. But what's right now has just happened. It's happened. That's present. But faith is down there. Say, this may have happened. Now, if I want to change something now, I got to put it out there in the future. And faith grabs it and puts it out there. It learns it. Go to the Holy Spirit. He's the one that is supposed to show you the future. Talk to Him. Talk to the Holy Spirit. I talk to the Holy Spirit all the time. I sit down to read the Bible. I just say, Holy Spirit, You're the teacher. I always pray, You're the teacher. And you're going to do just what the Bible says. You're going to guide and lead me into all the truth. I'm going to sit here and You're going to teach me. You're going to show me. That's Your job. You think He's the end of our eye? Jesus, we ain't doing it today. No, I don't want to teach. I don't want to teach people today. We ain't going to do that. No, He's going to do exactly that because, and I always say, you'll always obey what the Word of Jesus had said. You're going to take what belongs to Jesus and You're going to show it to me. Holy Spirit, if you didn't do it, you'd be a liar. And you can't lie because you're God. You're God the Holy Ghost. Impossible. He's got to always do what Jesus said He would do. Well, if He said He's going to show you things to come, is He lying about it? Do you have to wait till you get the next book out from what some minister said to see the future? He can't write about all your future. He may tell us things that He sees, but there's things that have to do with your future. Hallelujah. Glory to God. World changers need to see the future. I'm just telling you. World changers need to see the future. Glory to God. Father, I want to thank You. You're revealing their future. You're revealing Your plans and purposes in them for the tomorrows that are ahead. Lord God, inspiring them, Lord God, to believe and to walk with You. Lord God, and we sure need some changes in the future for this nation and the nations of the world. Hallelujah. There needs to be some great changes. And Father, we're not going to be disappointed. Father, you're going to accomplish and do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know if it did you any good. It did me a lot of good. Hallelujah. We're going places. You know, it don't matter. Don't worry about size or groups or whoever or what that. If God could change the world with one man, Abraham, He can change the world with, don't matter if anybody else goes along with you. You obey God. Hallelujah. And you can be put right in the class of Abraham. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God bless you.